Bienvenue à Les Affaires Brassicoles, votre balado sur l'entrepreneuriat brassicole du Québec, avec Leonardo Calcagno de Baron Mac.
Hi, I'm Tate Dunbar from Freestyle Hops down in Nelson, New Zealand. And we're a hop brewer that works with interesting craft brewers all over the world.
Excellent. Well, just want to say thank you very much for your time. Thank you for getting in contact with us. As we were telling you before, I think it's the first time we spoke with someone from New Zealand. And we know that you guys do a lot of good hops because we met, you know, a couple of New Zealand companies here and people distributed hops here. We just got news from Yakima that just signed a deal with the co-op in New Zealand. So we know you guys are doing very good beer. Before we start talking about the what's happening in New Zealand, I would like to know about your company. Can you give us like your sales pitch? You know, what's the background? Everything like that, because first of all, you guys have a great logo, so I'm going to talk about that afterwards. So tell me about your company. How does it work?
Yeah, so we are relatively new. We started about 7 years ago. I originally went to university in San Diego with a number of seminal individuals in the craft beer industry in the West Coast. And so that's a bit of sort of my background and exposure. I was originally a biochemist and married a Kiwi and slightly stumbled into this. And we sort of largely were excited about, I think, solving a problem that a number of the West Coast brewers that I was friends with had sort of brought up to me over the years, which was that, you know, they wished they had better access to New Zealand varietals, better access to growers, better access to the lots that they were after, and able to, you know, get out of New Zealand grown hops what they were starting to see in Yakima and in the Willamette Valley in Oregon.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the original driver was, there's all these exciting varietals and flavor profiles, but it just seemed like they weren't connecting with the brewers who really wanted them. And in many cases, the brewers weren't able to get sort of what they wanted out of the relationship, out of the hops, all those sorts of things. So we saw the opportunity to be super focused on delivering what brewers wanted. And the way that we sort of envisioned doing that and progressing was to work very closely with interesting, great brewers all over and really drive that feedback cycle where a brewer tells us what was good, what was bad, and we can adjust our processes, adjust our harvest, change what we're doing to maximize the character that, you know, these brewers are after and really deliver to them exactly what they want. In the way that a top chef would be able to go to a grower that they're sourcing produce from and say, hey, look, you know, these tomatoes that you sent me from late in the season, these were amazing. I want more of that. And these ones that you sent me from the middle of the season, they just weren't quite as bright and lovely. To have those sorts of relationships and to use that feedback loop to keep improving and to both increase flavor intensity and to deliver exactly that profile that each brewer is after. And that's been, you know, our purpose for the last 5 years. I think it's worked very well. We've been able to improve a lot of our processes quite significantly. And I think, you know, things like the chemistry and hedonic, you know, liking, these sorts of statistical measures of what we're delivering, I think reflect the improvement that we've made. But I think that, you know, that the biggest one at the end of the day is that, you know, brewers are loving what we're delivering. You look on Untappd and customers clearly are loving what we're delivering. So I think, you know, that's the real validation at the end of the day. If the finished beer is brilliant, then we've done our jobs. And I think, you know, that has been our focus, and really the big driver is, can we do things that are within our control to end up with amazing finished beer in you know, all these hop forward styles where our hops are being used.
So how's your structure? What's your structure, business structure wise? Is it a co-op? Is it people you get together, farming getting together? How did it work?
So I guess we would be what's termed vertically integrated often in these situations. So we do everything from soup to nuts. So we own our land, we grow our own hops, we harvest our own hops, we process our own hops, we distribute our own hops, and we sell our own hops. So everything is just from our farm. All of the process is us doing it. We have our own pellet plant, we have our own cold storage, and we have our own, you know, team members in various places. And
you
we
control
work
everything. You control everything you do. I mean, from your breeding program to everything. I mean, everything is yours pretty much. There's no 100%.
Yeah, there's no sort of like middleman or other suppliers or people we're buying some hops off of. If it's coming from us, it's us doing it. And the same thing, you know, we really believe that if we do it ourselves, that we will do the best job of it possible. We have to stand behind everything we do. If we do something that's not that hot, we hear directly, you know, we hear directly from a brewer about it. And I think, you know, the reverse is true. It's fantastic, you know, when people, you know, open a foil and are like, hey, these are fantastic. So, you know, you get both sides of it, but I think both sides of it are very motivating to, you know, to make you get things as good as they can be.
Because, you know, like launching a hop company, I mean, you're a young hop company, 5 years now. It's a hard job because it's an international market. It's a huge international market. There's a lot of not only distribution and wide distribution, it's a pain in the ass. But I mean, only to put it all together, to put it to the customer like that. So tell me, how come you guys in 5 years? How come you guys grown so much? I mean, you guys are in Quebec now. You're in Canada. I mean, it's a big step. I mean, I know New Zealand and Australia has a lot of brewers. I'm surprised you guys are here. That's why I'm most surprised that in 5 years you guys built such a big company.
Strong company. I mean, we're not that big.
Strong company. We're strong.
Yeah, but I guess there's probably a couple of things there. One, I think people always forget how small a market New Zealand is. You know, there's only 5 million people here.
You guys drink a lot of beer, man.
Yeah, we do, but there's only like 2.5 million of us drinking, so you know, there's way more than that in Quebec. So yeah, you know, we have to be sort of outward looking to some degree. And I think in our minds we also wanted to be serving, you know, the best brewers in the world that we could, because those people push us to be as good as we could possibly be. You know, they're very demanding, and the idea was if we work with these people directly, they will accelerate our sort of improvement by you know, being absolutely the most demanding in the world. And I think as we went out and looked at, okay, well, where are these brewers that we want to work with? You know, North America has just such a high quantity of fantastic breweries. And, you know, you see that across Quebec, there's just people making absolutely amazing world-class beer. And there's quite a few of them given the sort of market size and population size. And so I think we naturally gravitate towards these places that are really, you know, making fantastic beer, and that's really what's led us over the years. And you know, we over the last 3 years have suffered for being a tiny multinational company in a sense. It's been pretty painful through the COVID era to you know, fight through all the logistics and all those things, but you know, we love working with great breweries who push us to be as good as we possibly can be. And I think we just feel like that's sort of the right pathway for us. So yeah, we're not everywhere, but we are in a lot of places that are making really, really good beer.
So do you go after the market because you go after people that you like, markets that are strong for you, or is it by people calling you? How does it work? I mean, like I said, I was very surprised to found your bag when I know about you by people that I know, other people that I know, something like that. And I found one of your bag when I went to Quebec City and Nenocinco, they had your bag there, and I was looking at it, stuff like that. And I was like surprised you are here, because like I said, you guys are far from here. But how do you work when you work with different markets? Do you target your market as what you want, or people come after you? How does it work?
Probably a bit of both. So on some level, we have to make a decision on like, are we going to be present here or not? And that's the bit of the logistics piece of like, is this possible sort of thing? We're not selling hops in South Africa at the moment or or Vietnam. You know, there's places where it's just sort of doesn't quite make sense. But at least for North America, it's been relatively easy to serve that whole marketplace just with the various free trade agreements and sort of with ease of shipping. It hasn't been too hard to serve the US and Canada and Mexico. Unsurprisingly, we ship hops to the Port of Long Beach in California. It's the largest, you know, West Coast a port. It's the closest, cheapest place for us to ship to. And then from there, we kind of distribute out. And so, you know, that a little bit of the logistics has driven where we are. So we're definitely, you know, lot more focused on North America than perhaps we would be in other places. And then within that, it's really just trying to reach out to breweries that we think would be a great fit. And the reverse, you know, breweries reach out to us and we, you know, find amazing people that we love working with. And then within the large markets, it's sort of a like, you know, there's occasionally places that are just really, really hard to serve because the logistics are so painful. But generally speaking, it's not too bad to make it work if somebody, wants to work with us.
Yeah, but logistic wise, must be hard because, like I said, like there has been little problems with prices going up because of transportation. We talked to a lot of people in the logistic wise in the U.S. where there's sometimes like there's months of people waiting to get their stuff out. So being a distribution company like yours, you know, to make sure that everybody gets the best, gets your product, how does it work and how do you keep the prices, you know, like low or, you know, compatible, you know, when you across? And also, you're not as big as Yakima, so you don't have that kind of volume to keep those prices. So how does it work for somebody who wants to work with you?
Yeah, I think shipping is up. Becoming more of a problem in that, it used to be that we could ship even quite small volumes very cheaply. Mm-hmm. And that is much more challenging. You know, at the end of the day, shipping has just gotten much more expensive. So, you know, I think to some degree, everyone faces that problem, even the really big players, it's hard to get around. But otherwise, we have a very efficient setup. And we just try to be as fast as we can from harvest to getting hops to breweries. So we pellet all of our hops during harvest. So we're pelleting as we're harvesting. You know, typically it's sort of 48 to 72 hours from a hop getting cut down in the field to going into a foil bag and sealed in inert gas and all safe. And then we're shipping out immediately at harvest to North America. And there is actually quite a good port here in Nelson. So we're actually putting hops into refrigerated containers at our farm and just trucking them about 20K to the port. And then they're heading off to Long Beach.
Fresh vegetables pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. And just trying to be as fast as we can. And luckily, we're in a place that's pretty well served by the shipping lines and where there's pretty good sailings to that west coast of North America. We were having some issues last year and the year before just with slowness through the west coast ports, as everyone was. But actually, on the whole, it wasn't that bad. And then once we're into that port of Long Beach, the transportation sort of logistics there, because it's such a big port, are actually quite good. It's well served, and so we're able to get things out really quickly. And it's usually pretty competitive, and there's good options. So,
how do you keep the rates? You know, like affordable for people. You know, because of the price and stuff like that.
I mean, at the end of the day, actually, it's not a lot more expensive for us to produce hops than it is for the Pacific Northwest. And because our shipping is almost all ocean freight, you know, we're only trucking a tiny bit to the port here in Nelson. We're pretty cheap and efficient on our shipping kind of to a distribution location. We're not any better or worse than Yakima from there. You know, they have pretty good distribution hubs that for trucking to breweries across North America. We have, you know, access to great distribution hubs. So, yeah, it's really just being sort of very efficient with the whole process. We do also have a pretty large advantage in terms of part of our cost structure and a pretty large disadvantage with part of our cost structure. So energy inputs are really expensive in New Zealand relative to the US. But on the flip side, we have very, very few pests. So we don't spray our hops. Our hops are all spray free during the growing season. So there's, you know, a huge chunk of cost there that we don't incur. We're not putting out fungicides and herbicides and things. So, you know, sort of balances out, and we're not.
Yeah, because I was wondering about this. You guys don't use like any fungicide or any insecticide when you're on your crop. There's nothing like that. So how do you keep everything growing without any attacks or anything like that? I mean, it's pretty amazing to make it like that. And that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, we have, so there's sort of structural advantages in that a lot of the pests that are present in North America aren't present in New Zealand. So there's much, much less pest pressure. We don't have issues with powdery mildew or downy mildew, and a bunch of the other major insect pests aren't present here. We do have mites, but we're largely able to control them with predator mites rather than by spraying. So, you know, it's just a matter of being able to really focus on a few small issues and put a lot of energy into them and not have to spray. Whereas I think if we had 27 different things we had to sort of fight off at once, it'd be a lot harder. So I think, you know, those two pieces are probably the key drivers of what allow us to be spray free.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So
in my head, you have like goats walking around and eating stuff. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, we do use some.
You guys were like these men and just putting goats everywhere and having eating stuff like that to control everything.
So we do use sheep, yeah, for primary weed control as well, which is a bit different than the US. So yeah, so we're using sheep to control weed throughout the season rather than herbicide as well.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, that is a difference. What?
So how many varieties do you have right now in your portfolio right now?
I think we have 12 kind of what I would call kind of normal commercial varietals, and then we have quite a lot in our breeding program in various stages of development. So kind of all the typical New Zealand varietals, Pacifica, Moroica, Nelson Sauvin, Raquel, Waimea, Wakatu, let's see what else, probably a few I'm forgetting here, New Zealand Cascade, and our new one, Peacherine, is sort of now in proper commercial production.
Okay.
And then with our breeding program, we have literally thousands and thousands of seedlings, but in terms of things that are a little more advanced, we have four or five varietals that are at reasonably good numbers, and then another kind of 20 or 30 varietals that are at pretty small numbers that are, you know, quite early in that breeding pipeline of developing them. So
how does it work, your breeding program? Because I know it's very expensive, the breeding program. It's because sometimes it takes years to make sure that you're making good hops. Do you work with your high quality with brewers when you start doing hops? Because as you say, you're very close to brewers. You talk to them. You tell them, you know, you say, and if you don't like this hop during the winter or some summer, stuff like that. And when you do breeding programs, this is very expensive. I know. I talked to a lot of people about that, and it takes a long time. It's a big investment, a long time. So how does it work with that? Is it you work directly with brewers, asking you stuff like that? They come to see you. You produce a small batch of beer. You talk to people, very B2B, B2C. How does it work?
So it's still a little bit of an evolving process. And I think we're trying to keep improving the efficiency of it because, like you said, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. As a smaller grower, we've done a couple things to try to make our program as efficient and kind of cost effective as possible. We have a partner. So our breeding program is in a sense a separate business in that it is half owned by us and half owned by Garage Project Brewery in Wellington.
Okay.
They're one of the largest, or they probably are the largest independent craft brewery in New Zealand. So that helps in that we're sharing the cost with another company. And having them involved means that we have that kind of trial brewing expertise and that sensory expertise and access to their customer set in terms of trialing things that really make the early development process much more cost efficient for us. So, you know, we've done a few things there. I think the other one is just we've been quite creative in terms of managing our germplasm, so the parental material that we're breeding from, and just been very cost focused from the start, because both ourselves and Garage Project have limited resources, so we gotta use those resources very very creatively. And then the other one is we rely quite heavily on all the breweries that we work with to give us really good feedback and to help sort of streamline that process of bringing something to be a standard everyday varietal. So we're getting samples out to breweries, and we're trying to accelerate that pipeline where we're getting things as quickly as possible to breweries that we work with, getting their feedback either from an internal trial brew that they do, or in most cases, actually breweries are willing to use these hops in beers that a customer drinks. And again, I think that's really useful. Those customers provide direct feedback. They give us a really broad sort of population-wide understanding of perception of flavor and aroma, and you know, that helps drive the cycle quicker. It helps us to find exciting things and really focus on them sooner, and also to throw out the things that just aren't super exciting. You know, if something's not really exciting, we can't sort of hang on to it. You know, we don't need kind of average hops.
you need to be number one because people are using hops every day and they need new stuff for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. So it's sort of our program is very much in pursuit of things that are exciting. And, you know, I think having a partner that is a very, very good craft brewer is extremely helpful. And then having so many great breweries that we work with who can give excellent feedback and who can help us home in on things that are exciting really quickly is another big, you know, big key piece of it. So we sort of waste the least amount of time and money on things that aren't actually going to end up being, you know, being a varietal that we grow.
So tell me, how's the hops scene here, the hops and beer scene in New Zealand? You know, I personally know maybe 2-3 beers. We know about Fantas, and people are excited about that. all that stuff. But tell me, can you give us like a small guide of what's happening in the hops field in New Zealand and a couple of like the, what kind of breweries are there? Are you guys having the same problem as in Canada where there's brewers closing, people are going out of business, or still people are putting up new business? Can you give us like a little bit, you know, what's happening up there?
I mean, I guess my sense of it is that the craft beer scene in New Zealand is quite similar to the US and Canada in that, you know, it's quite mature. There's some very, very good, you know, world-class breweries. And then there's the whole array of everything else. And, you know, I think the scene is a bit like, you know, it's quite mature now, like you see in North America. And I think, you know, in a sense, I think about it a bit like the restaurant industry. You know, there's always amazing new restaurants that are opening up. There's great restaurants that stay and grow and do well. And then there's restaurants that go out of business for various reasons, you know, whether it's the quality of what they're doing, or maybe it's the location or the business model. And I think you see the same thing in New Zealand where, you know, people are struggling in some cases and other people are doing brilliantly. And I think it's just a bit a sign of a mature industry. And also, when the economic times are like just absolutely fantastic, you know, that rising tide lifts all boats, but you know, we're not in that situation anymore. And you know, hopefully things won't be bad over the next few years, but I think that, you know, it'll be sort of very similar to what you see in North America where folks will do well, folks will not do well, and a lot of people will sort of be in that middle ground where it's all right, but perhaps not amazing.
I thought you guys had like some secret, some formula, something like that. You can have us out. Like that. Yeah. Because I'm asking to a lot of people, you know, what's happening across the world to make sure that it's under something good going on that you can help us out. But I guess everywhere's like that. Okay, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, I think that's the sort of like, in a lot of ways, it's somewhat comforting for us, but also somewhat, you know, somewhat depressing at times, which is that across so much of the world and so many of the breweries that we work with, it's a very similar story. You know, nobody's in a particularly amazing, better position than everyone else. You know, everyone sort of fights the same sorts of battles, and you know, it's sort of the reality of it. And you know, in terms of beer quality, I'd say, you know, it's very similar to North America in that, you know, the average just keeps going up and up and up. And, you know, at the top end, people are making just amazing, amazing beer. And, you know, as a beer lover, it's pretty good times. You know, like there's a lot of really good beer out there. And it just seems like year on year, it just kind of keeps improving and the average just keeps, you know, going up and up. So, you know, I think that's also nice to see that across most of the places that we work, it looks like that's a very similar story.
So right now, in the beginning, before the interview, we're talking about the, we just got an email 2 days ago that the Yakima and a co-op in New Zealand got together and they're working together for distribution across the world. It's a co-op, and I think it's at Nelson. It's somewhere else, and and you know, as an independent company like yours, how does it affect, or the other companies, how does it affect to have a big company like that to have an exclusivity in New Zealand to bring more hops from New Zealand to the market?
I don't think it particularly affects any of the rest of us. It's not like some sort of like magical exclusive agreement. I mean, the growers here serve a bunch of different distributors. I believe that group, New Zealand Hops Limited, you know, I think they work with like BSG and Yakima Chief and Ferrum and, you know, all the sort of big broker types. I don't think that really particularly affects us at all. I mean, those sort of like, you know, generic big brokers, they've been doing their thing for many, many years, and then they'll keep doing their thing for many, many years. So, yeah, I think for people like us, it's just kind of more of the same.
Okay, okay. Well, I was talking in the beginning. You did two. There's one beer that I know that I just launched 4 hours ago, as we talked today, January 24th. Nano Cinco just launched their beer this morning. It's a New Zealand IPA, and one of the beers that was launched is with you guys, Freestyle Hops. Now, can you tell me about the beer that was launched this morning, man? Hopefully you get it soon. But can you tell me what kind of hops that you use on that, and tell me how was the process of working with them?
I would actually have to talk to my person who covers North America. So I know we've done a couple things with Nano Cinco, and I'm not sure which is the specific one you're asking about.
I just sent you the link right now in the chat.
Okay, yeah. I'll have a quick look at that one.
Yeah. What I see here is Nelson Sauvin and Riwaka.
Oh, yep. Okay.
1.8% alcohol.
Yeah, I recall. There's like a low alcohol beer. Yep.
That's 8.1 is pretty high, man.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said 1.8.
That's 8.1.
8.1,
no. 8.1 for pretty strong, man.
Yeah, no. Sorry. I think I'm getting confused with a different collab that we did on a low alcohol beer. I would think that would be just, you know, highlighting a couple of our very very sort of punchy, intense lots. So I think we had sent Nano Cinco a very, very high thiol lot of Nelson Sauvin. And as well as Riwaka. So these are hops with like very, very high levels of those compounds that lend kind of tropical and verging into sort of stone fruit citrus intensity to the aroma and flavor. And it's sort of one of the things that we're known for is that intensity of character of our Nelson Sauvin. I think been wanting to do something with them for a while and I think going back and forth on a couple of different ideas and I think they wanted to do something that was just really sort of highlighting that unique character of the hops that we're producing. So you know, that combination of Nelson Sauvin and Riwaka is always a good one. They're just both very punchy and exciting, and both of them have a very unique character. Which I think sort of lends itself to something exciting. And I also think, having done these sorts of things for a very long time, those big IPAs that are made with two hop varietals seem to be, you know, very, very well liked by consumers. And I think the reason why that sort of two hop varietal thing is really effective and kind of like a sweet spot is that it rounds out any sort of little sort of lacking full complexity that a single hop might have, but it doesn't round it out so much that the beer loses a bit of that uniqueness of character. You know, two hops seems to be that sort of sweet spot often with these big IPAs, where it's still delivering a unique flavor and aroma profile that sort of, you know, gets somebody's attention and it's like, wow, that's nice, that's a bit different. But it does it in a way that sort of has really lovely, well-rounded complexity. It's sort of as we've gone sort of through time and looked at these sorts of things, we think quite a good place to be for some of these things, especially to highlight some of that sort of unique character of our terroir.
Is there like a different way to highlight the taste of your hops, something like that? Is there a way to brew your beer that you would like to have people to talk to when people use your product? You have a different way you like to brew your beer to make sure that every taste highlights very well. Like you said, it doesn't hide behind the beer, but just like make sure that combines with the beer. Is there a way for them, if you want to use your products?
I don't think there's sort of too many. We don't like to try to be prescriptive because I think everyone's got different equipment and different processes, and you know, I think brewers generally have really good intuition on how to get the most out of their own setup. But you know, the things that we see that I think commonly tend to be really effective would be just dry hopping, you know, at a little cooler temperatures. It just seems to hold on to some of that unique character a little bit better. Again, a bit equipment specific, setup specific, but that one just seems to sort of more frequently than not crop up. And I think the other one is just a little bit kind of cleaner beers seem to maybe pop a little bit more. But you know, again, this is sort of like from the perspective of someone who just wants to taste like, you know, exciting hops. So you know, I would take that with a grain of salt.
Because I mean I've talked to other hop companies, and there's always ways that you like to, like, you want your hop to taste the best, because you know, like I said, there's different equipment, stuff like that, but there's always you know, a percentage, a degree that you want to make sure that, you know, people taste the hop. And I've tasted the Nano Cinco is pretty new as a brewery, and if this is their beer, and it's very different than what they're brewing right now. So that was what I was wondering, if you guys have like a small guide to make sure that your hops are pop up when they drink your beer, you know?
Yeah, I think that if we're doing our job really well, that in a sense, you know, the hops should really perform across usage. Obviously, there's things that are probably going to be less likely to result in exciting outcomes. You know, if you're throwing Nelson Sauvin in the boil, it's probably going to be a bit less expressive and unique than if it's used on the cold side, just because on the hot side, you tend to be pushing off a lot of these really exciting aromatic compounds. And what's held on to is a lot more of those heavier compounds that are more common across a larger set of varietals. So, you know, in terms of really you know, capturing that unique expressive character of some of our varietals, I think cold side use. But otherwise, you know, they really, if we're doing our job well, they should work very well across, you know, usages, you know. So if a brewer's, you know, got a bit of a different setup here or there, it's just
so humble, man. You're so humble. It's very humble the way you talk, man. Before we go, who's your distributor in Quebec? I know I talked with somebody here called Mary that works with you here in Quebec. So who's distributing your products across Canada and across the US to make sure that if you want to taste your hops here in Canada?
Yeah, it's all us. So okay. Yeah, it's all us. So Marie is one of our team members. She's the Marie Manu is the sort of primary contact for Quebec.
Okay.
And literally anyone could just get on our website and order hops direct or send us an email or send us a contact through our website, which is just freestylehops.com. We can get hops pretty much anywhere.
So before we go, I forgot something. I want to talk about the design, the logo.
Yeah,
very nice design. I have to tell you, I'm a big nerd of design, and the design is very amazing. Can you tell us, like, you know, what's the, you know, the feedback behind it? What do you guys wanted to reflect with the logo?
Yeah, so I think we were really enamored with an artist, a New Zealand artist who had. He's quite well known. His name is Gordon Walters, for merging forms of modern art, especially sort of very stark geometric design, with traditional Maori artwork. And so, you know, a lot of his art contained traditional Maori motifs, things like the koru, which is the curving fern frond, and also that sort of motif of weaved flax. And I think, you know, a number of us at the company just, you know, we're big fans of his artwork. And so that definitely was a bit of our inspiration. And we wanted to have a logo that kind of incorporated that same style. And he's sort of in the modern sort of New Zealand art scene, he's a very seminal artist. And so we felt like that was sort of a very appropriate kind of merging of modern and old, and reflected a bit of our sort of style and philosophy. And so we just went to a really talented local Nelson designer and sort of laid out the, okay, you know, these are the things we love. This is how sort of roughly we imagine. And he went through a few iterations and drew that design. And we loved it and have been really excited about it ever since.
It is a beautiful design, man. It kind of like looks like kind of like maybe like some Mexican native First Nation. Also, again, like kind of like a mixing is very nice.
Yeah, it's sort of that merging of pieces of modern art philosophy with elements of like traditional native design.
Yeah, that's great. It's beautiful, man. Well, I just want to say thank you again for your time. You're going. You're just starting your day. I have to go cook for the kids right now. That's how it goes.
You're a lot closer to your beer time than I am, though.
No, thank you very much, man. Like I said, thanks, Mary, to get in contact with me, because I saw it was in December. I went to Nano Cinco. I went to see their just opened the brewery was just opening right now, and I saw the and I saw your hops, and I was very surprised it was in Canada, because I saw a couple of times the logo going around, but I never had the chance to get a time. So I'm happy that we can talk, and yeah. Happy that you're in Quebec, so you can finally get that kind of beer. Do you see yourself more and more coming to Quebec soon? Or I know you're far from here, because my cousin, when he comes from Korea, is like 30 hours before he gets here. So anytime you guys are thinking about going to Vancouver for the Canadian markets in Vancouver, or more Edmonton, stuff like that, you guys are coming to check out trade show, stuff like that?
I mean, we definitely try to get out to Quebec each summer for you guys, winter for us. So yeah, Marie was there for a few months, and either Marie or I will probably be back in the summertime. And yeah, we'll just try to sort of see what events are on and get around to as many breweries as we can and see what's happening, kind of just take in the scene and connect with brewers and yeah, get out and finally, at least for some of these people, you know, we see the beers on Instagram often, but we don't get to taste them because of the logistics piece. So yeah, just getting out and tasting the beers that are getting made and enjoying that and escaping winter.
I got a beer. I got two beers from Australia a couple of weeks ago, and it took them like a month and a half to send me that beer. One from Siren, from Australia. And it took so long to get there, man. The beer was great, but it takes so long. And they do bottles, so I was scared it breaks during the trip. But that's it. Well, thank you very much, and I hope to see you soon. And if you're in Quebec, please get in contact with us. We'd love to see you live in a few beers. And hopefully you can bring some beers to New Zealand. So thank you very much.
Cool. Thank you. Oh, it's been awesome.